turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1. That's where we are for the preaching of God's word this morning. Acts chapter number 1. The title of the message this morning is Don't Lose Focus. Don't lose focus. Acts chapter number 1. Please notice verse number 4 and down through verse 8 is where we'll read for the preaching of God's word this morning. Acts 1 verse 4, and the Bible tells us, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We find here in Acts chapter number 1 the story of what it was like after Jesus had risen from the dead. He had spent approximately 40 days with his disciples off and on, commanding them and reminding them of the things of the scriptures and giving them instructions on what they were to do. And we find here that he's about to ascend into heaven, and he reminds the disciples that they are to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, we know from reading scripture and from studying it that that promise is the promise of Pentecost, that the Holy Ghost would be sent in a very powerful way upon that early church to empower them to do the work that Jesus had commissioned them to do of sharing the gospel from, yes, in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So he told them to wait for the promise of the Father until they were endued with power from on high. Their response was one of a loss of focus. Their response was, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, they were saying, Lord, now that you've been crucified, now that you've stayed in the grave for 3 days and risen, now that you've shown your power and that you are very obviously the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah, is this the time now? Now that you're done suffering, is it time for you to bring our nation back to its greatness that it deserves and that which is really our birthright because we're sons and daughters of Abraham? Jesus' response to them was basically this. I'm going to use my own words now. We've already read the scripture. Let me give you in kind of a summation what he said. He said, listen, you leave that to the Father and you stay focused on the job that you've been given. To wait for the promise of the Father, to allow that the Holy Ghost would fill you and to be witnesses unto me here in the city where you live, in the surrounding area, in the next provinces, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Keep your focus on that. This morning, friends, I would encourage you in these days that we're in today that God's message is the same to you and me. Don't lose focus. In all that we're going through, and we are going through some very strange things, aren't we? Don't lose focus. Remember this, that you and I have a job to do in this world. And the job that we have to do is to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Don't lose focus. And there are many ways that we could lose focus. There are many things that we could get worried about. But God, I believe, wants us to remember this morning that we are to focus on the job at hand, like the disciples thankfully did, especially when they were endued with power from on high. Let's pray, and then I want to get into this message that I've entitled, Don't Lose Focus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I need you this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. Thank you for the privilege of being able to have the technology, the live stream, Lord, to be able to share in the service together. Though we cannot be physically together, we can be together in worship. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, as I get into this message, it's not important that the people think well of me. In fact, Lord, that would probably be a hindrance to your work. Lord, it's not even important that they would think well of our church and our ability to have a live stream service. Lord, again, that would just be a distraction. Lord, it is important that they think much of you and that all of us would be reminded in a supernatural way this morning of our responsibility and our need to not lose focus. Lord, would you help me in a very powerful, powerful way to be able to preach in such a way that, Lord, your work is accomplished and that your church would go forward in the cause of Christ. And Lord, I pray for everyone listening or watching this morning, those who will listen or watch later, Lord, that every single individual would hear from you, that you would apply your word to every heart. And Lord, if there is anybody in our congregation that you are calling to full-time Christian service, especially in the area of missions, Lord, would you work on their heart today and not let them rest until they surrender to your call. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, after World War II and the fall of the Japanese Empire, the Korean Peninsula was divided between the Communist North, which was run by the Soviet Union, and the Democratic South, which was run by the U.S. and her allies. A war between the two of them from 1950 to 1953 really produced no real results in the freedom of one or the takeover of another. It just resulted in a stalemate. Since then, North Korea has become known as the Hermit Country due to its very secretive and hostile stance toward most of the rest of the world. The rest of the information that I want to share with you about North Korea, I obtained from Wikipedia. Can you trust Wikipedia? That's the ultimate question. I tried to only include the things that were very obviously true, and so you can take it for what it's worth. North Korea is widely accused of having perhaps the worst human rights record in the world. A 2014 UN inquiry, I can almost say that, into human rights in North Korea concluded that the gravity, scale, and nature of these violations reveal a state that does not have any parallel in the contemporary world. North Koreans have been referred to as some of the world's most brutalized people by Human Rights Watch because of the severe restrictions placed on their political and economic freedoms. The North Korean population is strictly managed by the state, and all aspects of daily life are subordinated to the party and state planning. Employment is managed by the party on the basis of political reliability, and travel is tightly controlled by the Ministry of People's Security. Amnesty International reports of severe restrictions on the freedom of association, expression and movement, arbitrary detention, torture, and other ill treatment resulting in death and executions. The State Security Department extrajudicially apprehends and imprisons those accused of political crimes without due process. People perceived as hostile to the government, such as Christians or critics of leadership, are deported to labor camps without trial, often with their whole family and mostly without any chance of being released. Based on satellite images and defector testimonies, Amnesty International estimates that around 200,000 prisoners are held in six large political prison camps, where they are forced to work in conditions approaching slavery. Supporters of the government who deviate from the government line are subject to re-education in sections of labor camps set aside for that purpose. Those who are deemed politically rehabilitated may reassume responsible government positions on their release. North Korean defectors have provided detailed testimonies on the existence of the total control zones where abuses such as torture, starvation, rape, murder, medical experimentation, forced labor, and forced abortions have been reported. On the basis of these abuses, as well as persecution on political, religious, racial, and gender grounds, forcible transfer of populations, enforced disappearance of persons, and forced starvation, the United Nations Commissions of Inquiry has accused North Korea of crimes against humanity. The International Coalition to Stop Crimes Against Humanity in North Korea, the ICNK, estimates that over 10,000 people die in North Korean prison camps every year. According to Human Rights Watch, which cites interviews with defectors, North Korean women are routinely subjected to sexual violence, unwanted sexual contact, and rape. Men in positions of power, including police, high-ranking officials, market supervisors, and guards, can abuse women at will and are not prosecuted for it. It happens so often that it is accepted as a routine part of life. Women assume that they can do nothing about it. The only ones with protection are those whose husbands or fathers are themselves in positions of power. That's just a little bit of things that we have heard about North Korea, and I would encourage you to look up. You can see a lot more things. But what a horrible, horrible situation the people of North Korea are in. By the way, just as a side note, that's what happens with socialism. I'm going to say that again. That is socialism. That's what it leads to. Please remember that. But you know, one of the things that I couldn't help but notice this morning as I began to prepare for church and wasn't quite sure exactly where the message would go until the Lord showed me some things this morning as I looked at the news, I saw certainly the different things that are going on with coronavirus, and if you're like me, that's all you see these days. And even recently with the protests that we've had here in Wisconsin, as well as other states that are calling on the government to reopen the economy again, which, by the way, I do think they should do. I think that's a great idea, and I think it's time. But regardless of all that, I saw those things. But then I also saw that there is a belief that perhaps, it's not a guarantee, we don't know for sure, but it is possible that the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, who's approximately 36 years of age, may have died as recently as last night. We don't know for sure. Things are very secretive out of North Korea. At least by the time I was coming to church, we didn't know for sure. Now, many of us have been very much concerned with the coronavirus and the different things that have happened to our country and to our state and to our city and to us personally through all of this. And here's some of the things that we've worried about. And I'm not saying it's wrong for us to worry about this. I just want you to see the things, and perhaps you'll hear some of these things, and perhaps you'll think, yeah, Pastor, that's something I've been worried about. And by the way, I would say I've thought about these things too. But we've been worried about whether or not a large number of people will die from this disease. And by the way, that is a potential. Thankfully, things have been coming out, information that seems like it's not as deadly as originally thought. But there have been some who have been very much concerned whether or not a large percentage of people would die from this disease. Others are concerned about that, certainly, but more concerned about whether or not our economy will suffer anymore and ever recover. And I've had that thought myself. And I question whether or not we'll ever come out of this the way we were. We've been focused also, perhaps, on whether or not we will become a socialist state instead of a republic like we are now. And again, I can understand those thoughts. We've been concerned to some extent whether or not the presidential election in the fall will produce the desired result of whoever the individual is that's thinking those thoughts. We've been wondering if this will affect the presidential election in the fall. We've wondered other things about whether or not this is a sign of the coming of the Lord and whether or not the rapture is around the corner or whether or not the mark of the beast is around the corner, or you know, you fit in your own beliefs there of what would be around the corner. We've had those thoughts. We wonder about whether or not there is a grand conspiracy going on behind the scenes and that there would be some kind of vaccine that we would all be forced to get, and in that vaccine would be a chip or this thing or that thing. And listen, I'm not trying to delegitimize any of those concerns. Those are normal concerns that normal people will have in a time like this. These are unprecedented days. But let me encourage you, Madison Baptist Church, and all watching this live stream this morning or by video or audio later, I want you to understand, listen, please hear me on this. Don't lose focus. The disciples, as they were there on that mountain with Jesus, and he was about to ascend, and he reminded them that they were to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, and they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he basically had to say, listen, guys, did you hear me? It's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but you do have a job. And let me encourage each one of you that we
have a job, and we must not, we cannot lose our focus. I want to give you 4 points that you and I need to remember this morning. And I hope that you'll write these down. Very simple, not alliterated. I'm not very good at alliteration anyway. But 4 very simple points that you and I need to remember. And please bear with me and help me in this. I want you to understand, I'm not trying to delegitimize your concerns if they were among the concerns that I mentioned. Those concerns are valid. And I'm not saying we should not do anything. But I'm saying let's not let those things become our focus. And here's the first point I want to give you. And this, please hear me on this one. Our rights as American citizens are not God's primary concern. For those of you who did not automatically turn off your computer now and close down YouTube, let me say it again. Our rights as Americans are not God's primary concern. Now listen, I understand that our rights as Americans give us the ability to better serve the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. Without this freedom, we would not be able to do much of what we do. I'm so thankful for it. But I also understand that the rights that we have as U.S. citizens, listen, are a tool that God has used to manufacture spiritual liberty. Spiritual liberty. In other words, the opportunity for people to be born again into the family of God. My rights as an American are a tool that God has used to help get the gospel out to not only the United States, but around the world so that they can have spiritual liberty. My rights as an American are not the end of everything. They're a tool in God's hands. In other words, they're a tool that God uses to manufacture spiritual liberty. And it's not that my spiritual liberty is a tool to manufacture my inalienable rights given to me by our Constitution. And not even our Constitution, by God, right? But do you understand what I'm saying? We sometimes have flipped those two and we think God's spiritual working has been going on in this world to try to give me liberties as an American citizen. No, friends, it's the other way around. God has given our nation for more than 200 years great liberties, not so that we can become wealthy, not so that we can be spoiled, not so that we can be fat and happy. God has given us rights as American citizens so we can get the gospel to the world, to places like North Korea that are suffering and dying right now, so that we can be used of God to be a lighthouse to this world. You see, the Great Commission was in effect for over 1,700 years before the creation of the United States, and it will long continue after she ceases to exist, God forbid. God's work has never relied upon liberties to go forward. Now, it's a tool in God's hand. It's given us great freedom and ability. But remember, God does not need liberties for his work to go forward. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Stay with me now. Listen and hear me through. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was, notice, a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now notice verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Did you notice that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, God said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll be witnesses unto me and you'll go throughout the world. If you read in the intervening chapters, the apostles and the Christians did not heed God's commission. They stayed in Jerusalem, and the church grew to great numbers. And so that was Acts 1:8. Now in Acts 8:1, notice the switch of those two numbers, we find that the church was persecuted and scattered. And it wasn't until they were persecuted and scattered that they went everywhere preaching the word. Now, wouldn't it be a shame if God had to do the same thing to you and me to get us to care about places like North Korea? Wouldn't that be a shame if it took persecution, if it took the complete and total destruction of our liberties for you and me to actually begin to care about the fact that there are people around the world dying without the gospel and without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? May I remind you, under this heading of our rights are not God's primary concern, do you remember what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, I believe it is? He said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You see, you and I, all of us, not just your pastor, you as well, we have been chosen by God to be a soldier in his army. And it is a spiritual army, and the goal of this army is not to conquer through force, it is to conquer through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell every person, every creature, about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. And we've been chosen by him to be soldiers, and so we cannot entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe we should be engaged politically. I have encouraged you to get involved in these things, to speak with your elected officials and to do some things to help them to understand what we should do in these days. Don't be passive. But friends, let me remind you, don't lose your focus either. Don't let that become your life. And with the Lord's help, with God's direction, as long as I'm able to be the pastor of this church, we will not lose our focus with the Lord's help. I'm leaning on him for that dependence, but our focus will still be a lost and dying world. So that was the fact that, well, here's one more thing about our rights are not God's primary concern. Think about this for just a moment. When we get to heaven, Paul, Elijah, and Moses, can you picture those three men? Paul, Elijah, and Moses will not be impressed with our focus on our liberties and freedoms. When we get to heaven and we see Paul, Elijah, and Moses, and we talk to them about, what was your life about? What was your focus? What was your ministry? Well, you know, I was fighting for my liberty as an American to go out and make money, which, by the way, is a good thing to do. They're not going to be impressed with that. Who will the heroes be in heaven? Please don't stone me with my answer here, okay? You can put that stone down. He that is without sin first cast a stone, right? But who will be heroes in heaven? Will George Washington be a hero in heaven? Will Andrew Jackson? What about Abraham Lincoln, Davy Crockett? What about great American heroes like General Patton or MacArthur? Will they be the ones who will be lifted up and exalted in heaven? Will our founding fathers be right there, just next to the apostles, helping to rule things? Friends, you and I know the answer to that. The answer is no. You know who will be the heroes? And of course, we don't know for sure. God is the one who knows. And he said, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But I would estimate that men like Jim Elliot, whose diary inspired that video that Brother Garraway put together right before the message, Jim Elliot and Nate Saint will probably be among our heroes in heaven. Obviously, the Apostle Paul, William Carey, a lady named Mary Slessor, who went to Western Africa, will probably be among our heroes in heaven. You see, our rights are not God's primary concern. Point number two, the rest of these points are much shorter, but this second point is this: we have a job to do. We have a job to do. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1, I would remind you of Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, where Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And then he said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. But look at Romans chapter number 1 and verse 13. Here's what the Apostle Paul told the Romans as he introduced his epistle to them. He said, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let," in other words, hindered hitherto, "that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Notice verse 14. The Apostle Paul said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Friends, I want you to see that we have a job to do. The Apostle Paul understood his job. He remembered the commission that had been given to the apostles before him, that they were to preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, "I am debtor." In other words, what he was saying is this: I have been given a great gift, and because of my great gift, I now have a responsibility to share that with other people. Wouldn't it be a shame if we could look at things like North Korea and not be moved by that? Now, the reason I bring up North Korea, by the way, I probably should have been a little more explaining of that in the beginning, with the death of Kim Jong-un potentially having happened recently, or maybe it will happen. Again, we don't know. But I can't help but look at it and say, you know, maybe that door will open like the Soviet Union did. And you know, if you look at Soviet Russia, when the wall fell and communism fell, we had approximately 10 good years to get the gospel to them. There's still missionaries there and all of that, but you know, if you follow missionary work at all, you know that things in that area of the world are beginning to close down a little bit, definitely in Russia. So if God does allow that the Kim dynasty would fall in North Korea and it would open up to freedom, what a blessing that would be. We may have 10 good years to get the gospel to them. And think about this: what if we lost our focus? What if we were so concerned about our rights as Americans that that became what our churches began to preach about, what our pastors began to get concerned about, what our people began to put their money toward and their passion toward? What if God opened that door, but our American churches were so focused on our rights that we missed the opportunity to walk through, to step through the open door that we've been praying for all these years? We need to remember that we have a job to do. You see, there is no excuse for a Christian to feel that he or she does not have a place to serve. Friends, there are many places to serve. We have a job to do. No, listen, you may not be able to have a position to stand behind a pulpit. And on a Sunday, twice or three times, on a Wednesday, preach and do funerals and weddings. Listen, God may never open a door for you to be a pastor. You may never be invited to preach big conferences and be a worldwide, world-renowned evangelist, to be able to preach great meetings and see many people saved. You may never have the opportunity to work in this area or this ministry or that ministry. But friends, there is always a place to serve. There is always somewhere to do God's work. There's no excuse. Point number three in the message is this: the only reason we may not get the job done is our lack of willingness to sacrifice. The only reason that we may not get the job done. And again, I looked at the news this morning and just couldn't help but think, what if North Korea were to open up? Well, the only reason that we wouldn't get the job done is because of our lack of willingness to sacrifice. One of the things that has been brought to great attention in these days that we're in right now with coronavirus is the wonderful opportunity that we have through technology to reach the world. There's no excuse, friends. But it will take a willingness to sacrifice. You see, we love our comfort, don't we? I'll be honest with you, I love my comfort. We love our rights. One of the interesting things about missionary work is you soon understand that the rest of the world does not live like we do. And I'm thankful we get to live like we live. I'm thankful for the rights that we have. What a blessing from God. Well, you know, when you just travel the world a little bit and just go to a few other countries, you know what you realize? Most of the world does not live like we live. And if you're going to do missionary work, when you go to that country, you have to live with their rules. And you know, I believe that there are many people who have refused to hear the call of God to be a missionary to this place or that place because they didn't want to give up their rights. We're content to know that we are on our way to heaven, and that's good enough for us, rather than worrying about others having the same information and knowledge. So we've seen that our rights are not God's primary concern. Number two, we have a job to do. Number three, the reason that we may not get the job done is our lack of willingness to sacrifice. Point number four is this: what should we do now? What should we do now? And I have three things. Number one, we should pray for places like North Korea to open up. Friends, we need to pray. We need to pray that that place will open up. In fact, so much so am I burdened about that, friends, that this next Saturday we've been, I hope you've been getting the church emails. We send them out to those who are on the email list for the church. And I have been notifying you of the fact that on Saturday afternoons at 1, we have been praying for it's been in replacement of the fact that normally we would go out on ministries at 1 o'clock because we're not able to do that with some of the restrictions that we've had as a group anyway. We have been holding those prayer meetings instead. And we've been praying for lost souls to be saved. Yesterday we did it through the Zoom platform, and that was a blessing. But this next week I want to do something different. This next week I want that prayer meeting to be simply this. Let's take that prayer meeting and make it a prayer meeting asking God to open up North Korea to the gospel. And I would encourage all of you, I'll send out the information on how to log into that Zoom platform, and I would encourage you to pray with us and to join us in that. You can either video call in, or if you don't want to use the video platform, you can always just call in on a regular phone. In that email will be information how to do that, and you can listen and be a part of that prayer meeting. And we ought to pray for that. You see, Paul prayed for the Jewish nation to be saved, didn't he, in Romans 10? The disciples prayed before they went forth as witnesses in Acts chapter 2. Prayer moves political and national mountains. We ought to pray. So first of all, we ought to pray for North Korea to open up. Secondly, what else should we do? We should prepare for North Korea to open up. We ought to prepare in case it does and trust God that someday it will. And by the way, North Korea is not the only place. It's just the place that's on my heart today due to the news that I saw of the potential death of their leader, that perhaps that communist regime would fall. But whether it's North Korea or not, we ought to prepare for other places. But let me just say, we ought to prepare for North Korea. Listen, we ought to be ready to give and support so that more missionaries can go there. If it does open up, we ought to look for good, solid Bible-preaching missionaries to go and share the gospel there in North Korea. We ought to be ready to give more. We ought to be ready to give more love offerings to the missionaries that we do have that are working on the Korean Peninsula and other places that might be a help there, or maybe those who would go. We ought to give more love offerings that would purchase supplies for missionaries. Think about the different supplies that they would need. Medical supplies would probably be a wise investment for a ministry like that. There would probably be a need for things like orphanages. There would probably be a need for certainly churches to be built. There would be a need, most of all, for literature, Bibles, and gospel tracts, New Testaments, and songbooks, and other things like that, that we would want to get into the hands of those dear Korean people there. And listen, we ought to prepare for that, and we ought to be ready to sacrifice and give. The other thing that we ought to do to prepare for it to open up is to pray and meditate on a plan of action to go forward. In other words, there might be some other ways. We've heard of some people doing some things, haven't we? And we won't share those things on the live stream, but there are people who God has laid some things on their mind and their heart to say, hey, that's a way I could get the gospel. A little out of the ordinary, a little non-conventional. But God would use that, and I can get the gospel to those dear people. You know what? We ought to be thinking of those ways that if it does open up, hey, this would be a little bit of a non-conventional way, but people would be able to hear the gospel. And then let me give you a third thing that you should do now. The first was to pray that it would open up. The second was to prepare for it to open up. And listen, this is very, very important. The third would be to surrender to go if North Korea opens up. And yes, I'm speaking to you. Some of you that are watching via the live stream, you know, if it were to open up tomorrow, some of you, perhaps God would want you, listen, to sell all that you have and go. And let me ask you this question, why not? Do you know that that's what other missionaries do all the time? Do you understand that's what Brother Shergalis did? You understand that's what Brother Kowak did? You understand that's what every missionary does. They say, you know what, God wants me to go. And they, on purpose, set everything else aside. And you know what, they love the things of America like you do. They love being involved in sports. They love being involved in their home church. They love the comforts of America. They love the American food. They love all those things that you and I love and that hold us with its bands here. And there comes a point where they just say, okay, God, I'll go. And they sell it all and go, why not you? Now, not everyone can. I understand God doesn't want everyone to. But I am convinced that God wants far more to go than have gone. And so you and I ought to surrender that, Lord, if you want, I'll go. I would encourage you, don't lose focus. Certainly be involved in the different things going on. Let your voice be heard in a godly, in a gracious, in a kind way. Don't roll over and let wicked people do wicked things. Be involved. But friends, don't lose your focus. This is not the big thing that we should be living for. The big thing that we should be living for is getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Don't lose your focus. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach this message to your people. Thank you, Lord, for just guiding me in it. And I pray to your Lord, would you work in this invitation? Lord, if there's somebody here that is watching via the live stream, via the YouTube video that will be archived later, or via the MP3, they're listening to it, Lord, and you are calling them to surrender to full-time Christian service, maybe even to be a missionary to North Korea if it would open up, that, Lord, I pray, would you give them the courage to make that decision today? I pray that you would loosen the bands that hold us to this life, our love of comfort, our love of what we've always known, our fear of the unknown, our fear of what might lie ahead. Lord, would you loosen those bands, and would you even remove them from us? Thank you, Lord, that you will. I'm trusting you for it. In Jesus' name.